Valvag could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Good afternoon, Steve. How are we going?
Good, thanks. Lovely to be here.
Fantastic.
Nice to see you both.
Cheers. And what do we have lined up today?
Well, today we've got two very serious documentaries to talk about. We'll keep the second one up my sleeve and we'll just tease the first one. This is about a focuses on some subjects whose names are things like Flatus Maximus, Odorous Orungus, and Techno Destructo. But let's let this audio introduce them a little bit better than I possibly can.
Fantastic. Let's go.
If you enjoy the music of Barry Manilow, Liberace, or the Bee Gees, then you're going to hate Gwar.
Their name is Gwar.
Gwar, the band from hell.
That band, Gwar, has got to be the raunchiest, most rotten band. They are the worst.
Basically, they're barbarian interplanetary warriors who play heavy metal music and shoot various bodily fluids all over the audience.
Gwar was a big, violent, sexual, theatrical rock show.
It's performance art, but it's also, it's this performance art that doesn't take itself seriously.
They were the scumdogs of the universe, banished to the shittiest planet they could come to. That's the thing?
Your act has been described as obscene and disgusting. What do you say to that?
Very accurate.
Well, you're not seeing.
There we go.
There's some really good facial expressions in the studio as we as we played that trailer down.
Just the image of them squirting onto the crowd is not.
It's a bit of fun.
It's an art form. Could be turned into, I guess.
I hear a slight question in your voice. It's an art form.
Music.
This documentary, This Is Gwar, actually opens with one of the crew members setting up the propellants for the said liquid,
the mechanics
spraying on the audience.
Right. It looked coloured as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood. There's a lot of other fluid that's spraying the audience. But this band Gwar have been going for about 40 years now. It's part sort of performance art, part heavy metal, part punk rock, part puppet show, I guess.
Yeah,
they've made
the costumes are amazing.
Incredible latex costumes. Yeah. There's like full dinosaurs on the stage. There's people getting amputated, decapitated, blood. But in amongst it is this really interesting story of an art collective from the 1980s, Virginia, US, just like, you know, pretty much like pretty average declining town, just happens to have a college in it, who merge a punk rock band that has a guy in it that loves to take his performance to the next level with someone that was just really keen to make comic books and a science fiction movie. And those two things kind of fuse, and then some 25 band members later and about 100 people, about 100 different personnel in total, you get this crazy thing called Gwar that keeps going even as members pass away, even as people come and go.
Wow, it's an institution.
And the story is it's really remarkable. There's so much that could get covered in this documentary, which you can see available on Shudder.com from tonight. But I think what they do that really focuses this and makes it more than throwing you a billion details, because obviously over 40 years there's heaps of stuff to recount, it really focuses on the relationship between the two founding members and where they do and don't see eye to eye. So you've kind of got this punk rock guy who really likes taking the limelight. He's the front man for the band. And then you've got this other guy, Hunter Jackson, who really, like, all the characters, all the concepts, all the sci-fi stuff is really his input. And the tension between them leads to some severe stuff over the years. But, I think like their relationship's interesting because it also reveals how dudes will explore conflict with one another. Like, nothing's really ever kind of solved between them. And the relationship between the largely men and this heavy metal band is really one of the interesting things to follow. People really do kind of get chewed up and spat out of the Gwar machine behind the scenes. But then it still kind of, like, a lot of them keep coming back into its orbit as it remains a really significant part of their lives. So kind of a story about a really messed up family that perform wearing these crazy costumes. One of the things I couldn't get over is actually how they managed to play heavy metal live wearing like big rubber arms and masks where you would think like, can they even see what they're doing?
Because they are huge costumes.
They are ridiculous. So you may well have come across Gwar like in a photo shoot or
without knowing it.
Yeah, totally. Like I kind of seared into my visual memory without ever having the chance to have seen them live or really engaging with their music, to be honest. But it's kind of this all-around package that I just kind of want to wear a white T-shirt and go to one of their shows now, to be honest. So the film's called This Is Gwar, and it is on Shudder.com from tonight. Highly recommend checking out. Yeah. Not a perfect documentary, but the subject is just so interesting that you'd be
the storyline, remiss. The tensions,
just seeing the insane creativity that you know, this collective who really are just a cottage industry. Like they end up on a record label that gives them some financial assistance, but really it's people operating on not much more than a kind of basic income, but who are just doing this because they love doing it. It's like the ultimate film art and prop department, but working in service of a live show. You also in the docker you see people like Weird Al Yankovic, who recounts he loves them because really like he I think he's kind of aligned with their sensibility quite a lot. But he tells one story of turning up to a venue to play and having to delay his sound check for several hours because they're still cleaning up from
the previous show.
Probably hundreds, if not thousands, of liters of liquid sprayed on the audience the night before.
Well, I mean, definitely watch the trailer because I was very drawn in from like the first half of the trailer that we watched.
Yeah, I feel like our listeners would probably resonate with some of the themes throughout it as well.
Absolutely, all the intergalactic towards barbarians listening will feel seen. I think by this film.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But if there is, if there's one thing that connects the two films I'm going to talk about today, without opening us up to any defamation, it's that perhaps, maybe, one could possibly form the opinion that there's a kind of cultiness to Gwar, and you could perhaps, maybe, allegedly, possibly form the opinion that New Zealand's Gloria Vale also shares some of the same or similar cult elements. Well documented in New Zealand news over recent years. Gloria Vale is, of course, kind of our version of what we see covered in documentaries from all over the place, that is a Christian kind of cult. Can we say that? Kind of cult.
Yeah.
That has, you know, really solidified its grip on the lives and, more importantly, finances of its members. Over the years. There's a full-length documentary that's coming to New Zealand International Film Festival in a couple of weeks on Gloria Vale. And I think what makes this an interesting addition to everything else that already exists in the news media about the sect is that it takes quite a personal approach to just a few people who have left the sect and are now fighting legal battles to try and, basically just hold them to account. What's crucially important, I think, about this particular film is that it's not just former members, but that they've actually managed to include a woman that still lives at Gloria Vale in their film. And I think that's a really unique viewpoint to share. So someone that still dresses in the attire that we associate with the community, that talks about what it was like when it started and talks about how the ideals that were quite these, you know, really started with really positive ideals of collectivism and everyone mucking in together and building this community together. And then to find that, no, actually, we don't all own this thing collectively. It's been sort of siphoned off in a certain direction. Was really crushing to them. So, the personal elements to this, particularly, you know, this poor mum, Sharon Reedy, who's, you know, seen some of her family leave, some of them are staying, and just really seemingly still is, you know, believing in some of the original mission of Gloria Vale, even as certain people running the place take it in a different direction, is pretty compelling thing to watch. So you can catch that at the New Zealand International Film Festival.
I remember when that that TV show, Doco, came out, and it just had the whole country in a chokehold of just... What?
Yeah,
and
it's really... It's
always been so fascinating.
Totally, and it sort of has the feeling of, you don't think that happens here. And yeah, then now it's like, yes, and now, exactly. Well, I guess the ways you can tighten your grip on a religious community and turn it very inward looking,
yeah,
are the same tools that every cult leader around the world now, I guess, has a little pamphlet of how to do that same stuff.
No, it sounds very interesting. They both sound very interesting, and you're right. There is a little unifying thread.
Little unifying thread, possibly two different extremes. I'm pretty sure there's no metal in Gloria Vale.
To the best of our knowledge.
There is music.
Probably not. Imagine. Probably not hundreds of litres to clean up afterwards.
You'd hope not.
And that's me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.